8816. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
That would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We've got three more big Derby prep races this weekend. If you'd like to just relax, maybe it's a little rainy out, you open up your Club Hawthorne app, you put the TVG or FanDuel TV up there. Bam, ready to go. Watch the horses. And if you want to bet sports, it's the Points Bet Sportsbook.
Here is Jake Cantu.
Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing?
We're good, man. Rock and roll. Let's kick some ass here on Shot or No Shot.
Y'all doing fine. Thank you.
Sleep well last night, Cap?
I slept phenomenally well. No, I got a great sleep score on my Oura ring.
Your what?
I wear a ring. It's called an Oura. O-U-R-A. You wake up in the morning, it tells you what your resting heart rate was. It tells you a sleep score. The whole thing. Your readiness for the day. I'm ready to go.
Do you keep that ring always on your finger, or do you put it someplace else? Here's Jake Cantu. Jake?
All right, let's go to the White Sox.
Wow.
Seven games.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. Go ahead.
What a transition. In seven games, the White Sox were tied for the MLB lead with 27 relief appearances made. And after yesterday's blowout, the Sox bullpen is ranked in last place with a 9.36 ERA. Shot or no shot, this is an early sign the White Sox pitching will struggle all year.
That's a no shot. What we see here is not what we're going to see all season. We're getting some remnants of spring training. The pitchers will straighten themselves out, and I believe that will happen after tax day. Things will start getting better.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. We can't jump to conclusions here after a week. It's a week ago we started this thing.
But it still sucks.
It does.
That's the problem.
When your manager says, we got to throw that one in the, what did he call it, the trash can?
Yes.
And then 4 days later, put that one in the trash can too. Somebody better take the trash out because that thing's going to be overflowing here.
12-3 and 16-6 is not ideal on the opening weekend over there at 35th and Beck. You guys are going to play like that? See you in July.
Right.
Seriously. You better turn it around.
Brutal.
Because you Sox fans want to see much better. After at 500 last year, that starting pitching was unacceptable. That doesn't mean that's going to be that way all season, but that's not a good start. Splitting against Houston, you asked, would you want to do that? And I said, yeah, split against Houston would be great. And they did it. Played good baseball. I think they were in every game against Houston. They were in there. But then against San Francisco, who's not that good, Cap. Not good enough.
Do you know that's the most home runs the Giants have hit in a game in like 40 years?
Yeah.
And it went, those home runs yesterday, 5,218 feet. Yeah. Almost a mile.
Yes.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
Hanser Roberto, position player, pitched for the second time in the series yesterday.
Can you believe that?
I thought baseball's going to do something about that.
That you can only use a position player if you're 10 up in the ninth, I believe, or down 8 or more. Hanser, get loose, kid.
That's not good. You don't go to the ballpark, Cap, to see position players pitch.
That's correct. That is correct.
Go ahead, Jake, before I lose a gasket here.
Let's move on to the Bears then.
Wow.
We discussed a little bit this morning, but let's bring it on air. In a CBS article projecting six new playoff teams for the 2023 season. Mm-hmm. The Carolina Panthers were listed as one of the six teams to make a playoff run next year. The article arguing that the Panthers have the ingredients to be a decent team in a wide-open NFC South. They have a new coach in Frank Reich, free agent veteran additions to help either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young in their rookie season. So shot or no shot, the Panthers' 2023 first-round pick that the Bears will receive will be outside the top 10.
That's a shot. They're in a horrible division.
Correct.
Tampa's not trying.
Probably the worst division in the NFL. I'm not sure who's going to be 500 in that division.
New Orleans, maybe. With Derek Carr, maybe.
I don't know. I guess. Maybe.
So you got New Orleans. Tampa's not trying. They're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Atlanta, I don't know what Atlanta is. With Desmond Ridder at quarterback, I don't know what they are. Yeah, I mean, like Shea's penciled in that the Panthers are going to be one of the three worst teams in the league. I'm not so sure about that.
Well, okay. Let's just start from the beginning. I don't think the Panthers make the playoffs this upcoming season.
They lost going to the playoffs in the final week of the season this year for Steve Wilks.
Well, that's Brother Wilks doing it. That's the difference.
Correct.
That's Brother Wilks, who should still be coaching someplace, but no, he's only good for 1 year or half a year. That's exactly, that's what he's in there for.
Correct.
Just to be able to keep it together. And that's a real shame because Wilks deserves better than that, but at some point he'll find another job. I just think that if you're going to draft a quarterback, which I expect the Panthers to do,
mm-hmm.
you, again, it's like anything else. You're going to tell me that C.J. Stroud will come in right away and pay dividends for the Panthers? No shot. No, I don't expect that, unless he's just some marvel that I don't expect. I think that it, whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, it's going to take time.
Got Andy Dalton.
What about him? Someone's got to hold a clipboard. No, I don't believe. First of all, JC, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. The other teams on this list, by the way, the Packers on this list.
Yep.
Lions, Jets, Browns, Broncos. Those are the teams. Those are six playoff teams.
And you can make a case that every one of those could go to the playoffs. The Jets better go to the playoffs if they're investing all that in Aaron Rodgers.
Actually, the investment you're concerned with is the ticket in your pocket for the Jets going to the Super Bowl. That's your problem.
Correct.
Yeah, that's all you care about. You don't care about it. You're so transparent, Kaplan. It's just amazing. Like, the Jets better get there or I'll lose money.
Well, I'm not saying the Super Bowl. I have a ticket on it, but I'm...
Huh?
I'm talking Pardon about me? The Jets better be a playoff team if you're a Jet fan
uh-huh.
with all you put into Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. They better get to the Super Bowl. I got a ticket on it. Take that.
How about if it's the Jets Lions in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I won't be here for a few days.
Yeah. What Jackaloon would have that set up for the Super Bowl? Jets Lions. Huh? You talk about pie in the sky.
Me.
Exactly. So, folks, as you're listening, folks, just understand, my partner here, he's pushing the Lions-Jets propaganda because he's got a burning ticket in his pocket, believes that that's going to be the Super Bowl matchup. So anytime that you hear my partner laying out everything about the Jets, laying everything out about the Lions, it's about money. It's not about the teams. He didn't care about them. He just cares about his pocket.
Value.
That's all it is.
Learned it from Waddle.
Yeah, that's
Look
it.
For value.
I just want people to understand where this is coming, because people are just wondering, like, boy, Cap's really, he's got so many salient thoughts on the Jets. He's really done the homework.
And the Lions.
And he's really done the homework. The deep dive. No deep dive. He just wants to cash the ticket.
Well, I did. Well, before I put my hard-earned money into it, I did a deep dive.
Yeah, but the analysis is biased. That's all it is.
Now it's biased because I've got the ticket. Pre-ticket, I had to do serious analysis.
Just so you understand, Jay Moore, this is now not just the home of the Bears, but also the home of the Lions and the Jets all season. Just so you know. Never mind about the Bears imaging that you put together, you and Joe. Never mind about that. It's the home of the Jets and the Lions, too.
Can we get a little a jet plane with a growl?
See? Oh, exactly. See? That's what I'm talking about. So never mind about the Bears, folks. If you're looking for Bears coverage, you come to the right place. But also for your Jets-Lions thoughts, you're also at the right place. Because this guy's got a, because this guy right here got a ticket.
That's a helicopter. I need a jet.
that's what the jet sounds like over the years for New York.
And a nice growling lion.
Yeah. Yes. And the lion for years, not a growl. Hello, kitty. That's exactly what it is. JC.
Let's shift to the NBA a little bit. The Phoenix Suns took down the Denver Nuggets last night, a score of 119-115, and remain undefeated at 8-0 when Kevin Durant is in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the Nuggets being without Jokic and other star players, shot or no shot, the Denver Nuggets aren't the team to be in the Western Conference. It's the Suns.
That's a shot. If they're healthy with Devin Booker and Chris Paul and Kevin Durant, if they're healthy... That's a damn good basketball team, and I like their coach very much, Monty Williams.
Before we get to that, this league has a major issue. A major issue. And I'm not sure if this would have happened under Stern, the late David Stern, but Silver has a major issue as commissioner of this league. This whole thing where these players cannot play back-to-back, I can't defend it. And you know how much I love the league. I love basketball. But this is a problem. I don't understand what the end of the season, but there's still matchups, Cap. And you know it because you comb through it every day like I do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see what games. Oh, this will be interesting. Suns, Nuggets. Jokic against Kevin Durant. Nope, not getting that. You know, LeBron James playing against. Nope, you're not getting that. Kyrie again. Nope, we're not getting that. And I understand that the medical and all the information that the medical teams across the league, they have more information than we do. Hey, if you give this guy the day off, that he'll be able to be healthy down the stretch. Cap, all I know is that real hoopers just want to hoop. And it doesn't, I mean, you can limit their minutes, but this whole thing where they're taking stretches of days off, like they're on a McDonald's schedule, is ridiculous to me.
So there's a new rule. You cannot be all NBA. You cannot be the MVP. Cannot qualify for these awards if you don't play 65 games. So a guy tweeted, Shane Young,
yeah.
Kevin Durant is now averaging 29.1 points on 61.7% shooting, 40% from three, 91.9 from the free throw line. Those are his splits for the entire season, 47 games. He retweets it this morning. Don't count. Didn't play 65 games.
He certainly does not have a significant other. It's just him, I mean, and his phone.
Dude, why do you care?
In his video games. I mean, that's who he is.
Unbelievable.
To answer your question, JC, it is a shot. The Nuggets are not the team you fear. It's the Suns. But again, it's what Cap said. It's about health. It's not Durant's health. It's Chris Paul's health. If Chris Paul is not 100%, the Suns aren't winning either. So with the Nuggets, as great as Jokic is, and he is great, there is a ceiling to their success with the Nuggets, especially defensively. You get into these short series, Cap, Commandant, when you see get these short series, I'm not sure, Cap, that the Nuggets can last. But the Suns, and I know that this is a mercenary, Durant coming over with Ayton, with Paul, with Booker. But if they're healthy, yes, that's the team to look out for. The Golden State Warriors have a hard time playing on the road for whatever reason. They're still deadly, but yet they've had road issues all season. But I would agree, the Suns would be the team based on their roster depth.
They got a lot of talent, man, if they can stay healthy.
Yeah, no question. All right, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Coming up, we'll go around the National Football League. Also, Courtney Cronin will join us at 8:35. Cap'n Jay Hood is on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM HD2.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're going to hear from Courtney Cronin coming up at 8:35. But now we go around the National Football League. Here's Jake Cantu. Jake?
I wanted to start with the Dolphins wideout Tyreek Hill. He was on doing an interview with Sports Radio 810 WHB earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. And he says he's only planning to play until after 2025. He plans to retire after 2025. He has business and gaming aspirations to do it after his NFL career. And he says, in a reference, "I'm going for 10, man," meaning 10 career seasons. So Dolphins wideout planning to call it quits after 2025.
I mean,
he took care of his money.
Yeah, and it becomes a headline, but who knows? What if they go? What if he goes out 2 years from now and they win the Super Bowl and he's the Super Bowl MVP and somebody wants to pay him a fortune? This can all change. We'll see. It's news because he said it, but we'll see.
Hey, you know what? If he took care of his money, and we're seeing this more and more with NFL players leaving early, like, hey, where are you going? My money's spent. I'm tired of the beating. tired of training camp. I just want to live my life. I want to start a family. Or, Cap, as you well know, I want to get off the gas so right. I can have a family.
Right.
So, whatever NFL player, some NFL players may or may not be taking. And I want to start a family and go into business or whatever, right?
Yeah, some of them. Or they just want to protect their brain.
I think, too, Tyreek Hill's a big streamer. In the offseason, I know he does it a couple times during the bye weeks, but Tyreek Hill is one who goes on Twitch, plays whatever, various different games, what if it's Madden or whatnot, with other streamer and content creators. So if that's the space he's going to go into, there's a lot of money to be made.
All right, what's next?
Jets signed QB Tim Boyle yesterday, Aaron Rodgers' ex-backup in Green Bay.
My God.
Continuing the saga and drama between the Jets and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
I mean, think about this, Cap. I mean, here's a guy here that was underrated at Northwestern, okay? Parlays that into a broadcasting deal. You see him now sometimes on NBA TV. He's a gambling expert. Tim Doyle's done a terrific job, man. Post-career, outstanding. Good job for Tim.
Serious?
What did I say wrong? Tim Doyle he was talking about.
Boyle.
Tim Boyle, and it's Tim with two M's.
What is it? What's the name?
Boyle. Like Pat.
Pat Chicago Boyle? Bears legend?
Tim Boyle.
Yeah.
Not Tim Doyle.
With the slick hair, right?
No.
Gambling guy.
No.
It's not him?
That's Tim Doyle, who played at Northwestern. This is a different guy.
Gambling problem? No, I'm just kidding.
1-800-GAMBLER. Not the same dude. Not even the same name.
You don't know. Go ahead, Jake.
Wow. This Boyle. Guy, man.
What did I say wrong?
With the B.
I'm talking about Tim Doyle, my old broadcast partner.
Yeah. He's got, like, the poofed hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's quarterback. Athletic.
Different guy. Go ahead, Jake. Wow.
How are you correcting me? I know what I'm talking about around here.
I'm not sure about that.
I wanted to go back to the Bears a little bit. We stepped away from some draft talk, but let's bring it back in. But with this perspective, our moods and feelings are changing every day, right? We're about 20 days away from the draft.
Yeah.
Right now, which draft prospect are you feeling strong about taking today at 9 for the Bears?
That's a great question.
Nolan Smith.
Ooh. That's a monster right there, man.
That's a monster.
That's a monster.
The question is, he's 239 pounds. Can he get to 250? Because if he can, people are comparing him to Khalil Mack and Von Miller. If he's at 239, he doesn't have the heft to be able to be that guy. He's a beast, and he's a leader. They need people that hold people accountable in that room. He's one of those types.
Well, I don't know why you asked that question, because you already know the answer. You know you can get him up there to where you want him. Weight-wise, you can get him where you want him to be, right?
I would think.
Sure. Okay, so what position do you think, Jake, that they should... To me, it's offense or defensive line.
Yeah, I think you have to build the trenches up. That's what we've been kind of tossing around and building it from there. But again, the more I think about it, though, man, a wide receiver would look real pretty at 9.
So you want Jalen Hyatt, the wide receiver from Tennessee?
All right, no. Okay. Jackson Smith and the Jigba.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm not taking him at
But I... Not for the Bears. Not for the Bears. Not him. As much as that'd be cool, the Bears are far away from that. I think they have their wide receiver room solidified as far as their top guys, Jay Moore.
I'm taking whoever is the best guy on the board if I'm him. And I think that's how he lives. BPA, best player available. Whoever it is. If that's Jackson Smith and Jigba, good luck.
Bijan Robinson.
We're not ready for that yet, Jay Moore.
But are you guys confident with the running back room right now?
No, but I'm not confident in really much about our team. I'm hopeful. There's a difference. At a running back at 9? No. No shot.
Well, hey, listen, you felt like, this generation's Neil Anderson. You could just move on from him. He's now a Lion, and David Montgomery. So Deontay Foreman and Khalil Herbert. Oh, well, anybody can run the football. Ask Cap. Anybody can just run the football. Just plug anybody in there.
That's not a true statement.
Anybody can run it.
Eh. I don't believe that. But I'm not taking Bijan. If he's there at 26, would I trade back? Maybe. He's really good. He's amazing.
Probably not.
Nine for a running back? With all these holes?
If we got a better runner in there, then Justin can focus on passing.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't feel like it's a jailbreak every time, again, that all also is predicated on what kind of offensive line we're talking. Seriously, like, say, for instance, you come north. That's a baseball term. I shouldn't use that. Coming north.
Correct.
Florida or Arizona. Okay. Say, for instance, you're ready to break camp.
That's the term.
That's the term.
There
Sorry.
You go.
Baseball. I'm in baseball mode.
Yes.
Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair, Lucas Patrick, Nate Davis, Tevin Jenkins. That work for you? Patrick still around for you? Or are you going to try to upgrade that spot?
I would like to see them draft a center. They spent a lot of time working on, I think, Juice Scruggs, the kid from Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
There's another kid from Minnesota that is highly regarded as a center. I need somebody. There's my 10-year center right there. I need an Olin Krutz.
You want Whitehair to move over?
They've tried that before with previous regimes, and it didn't work. No.
Get a real center in there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like I said, Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair still with the ball club?
Probably.
Okay. Lucas Patrick still with the ball club?
Not sure about that.
Nate Davis, they signed him for a reason. And Tevin Jenkins, the best offensive lineman they have.
Now, if they draft Paris Johnson, I think Broderick Jones would go... Braxton Jones would go to right.
Yeah.
And the new guy would go to left.
The Jones you just mentioned, though, I love him, too.
The kid at Georgia, yes. Broderick Jones.
Yes. Yep.
Love Give him, too. All Georgia players.
I mean, seriously, well, you want to shop at the top shelf? Go to the SEC, specifically the Champs. Listen, it's a surprise to me, too, Jake. I mean, as a lifelong fan of Georgia, being a Georgia guy, it's amazing how many Georgia guys are up at the top of the rung when as far as this draft is concerned. You go to the Champs, right? Especially with strong defenses like Georgia's put out there under Kirby Smart over the years. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
I just want him get the best players and on your board, and if your board is accurate, you're building a champion.
I just had a thought of going back to that Bijan thing real quick.
Yeah.
If the Bears select Bijan at 9, are you more surprised
in the next
about
morning.
That?
On the home of the Bears, what? They won't be happy.
Are you more surprised about that, or more surprised the night that the Bears went up and drafted Mitchell Trubisky?
No, listen. I've said this several times on the show. If you've heard this before, sorry. But for our new audience, when we looked at the draft of the quarterbacks, it surprised me that the Bears went up to get Trubisky. Because I saw enough of him in college to think, oh, he's only played a handful of games. He has wheels. He has a decent enough arm, but not as special as the other quarterbacks that are in the mix, like Watson, even Mahomes, who was a wild card in that draft. When it comes to this, though, Bijan Robinson, you said Bijan Robinson, right? What'd you
say?
Sir.
Yeah.
I think that the next day, I think Cap and I would both hit the roof if your best guy available on your board is a running back. At 9.
Well, then I would seriously question your board.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not telling you that kid's not amazingly talented.
Well, this is why you and I will always disagree on draft philosophy, especially early. You remind me of JD in this regard because he and I would fight about this every single season. Again, if running back is not my priority, do I need a running back? Not as bad as I need an offensive lineman or defensive lineman. I need those badly.
But if I told you the offensive lineman's ceiling was he's going to be a really good player, and the running back's ceiling is he's got, I'm not going to say Hall of Fame, but all-pro ability. That's what Ryan told us. He said, I'm not going to leave a guy that I project as a future all-pro on the board to address a need with a good player.
But that guy can never show what he can do if no one will block for him.
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying. Like, but you in this best available, you better hope to God that it's not like a running back or something that you don't need.
I just can't believe he, because he said when he puts his board together, he told us this. When he puts his board together, it's not just who's the most talented player. It's character and this and projections and analytic, all of it. I can't believe a running back's going to be the guy. At nine?
We're dealing with a team that has several needs, though.
Again, I don't draft just for need. I want the best. Who's the best guy on my board? I just don't believe that the best guy on his board, after all he told us that goes into that, is a running back.
It better be a lineman, Jay Moore. I tell you that for sure.
I agree. On the offense
or defensive lineman. As I mentioned, I was just so twisted by how bad the defense was for the Bears last year. It's the worst of my lifetime. You couldn't get to the quarterback. You didn't have a pass rush. You had average to above average quarterbacks just running free, being able to have an 8 to 10 step drop and do whatever they want to do against the Bears defense. I hated it. I hated watching it. I seen a horrible Bears team that could still be able to get to the quarterback. And so they've got to address that. They took care of the linebackers, but what have you done for the line?
So with a solid offensive line, you think Khalil Herbert is the guy?
No. I think he's a part of the room. This is everything I've read. He's not good as a blocker. He's not the greatest pass catcher.
Well, you got a fullback on the roster for that. You got to use the blasting game.
Yeah. But you also need your tailback to be able to pick up and block.
Yep.
And I keep reading the experts all say that's not his strength.
That's why you have Tristan Ebner. He's on the roster, too, now.
For now. We'll find out.
Courtney Cronin. You know what? She can answer this question. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Courtney Cronin about that next. Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Captain Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox, in a final game in their series against San Francisco, lose 16-6. Lance Lynn suffered the loss, and the Sox pitching gave up a total of 13 home runs in the three-game series. Today, the Sox will take on the Pirates. It's a 2:30 pregame with Connor McKnight right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs welcome the Texas Rangers to town. Marcus Stroman will be on the mound for the Cubs. Bears signed defensive lineman Rasheen Green to a one-year $2.5 million contract. The Bulls are back in action tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. LaVine, DeRozan, and Caruso are questionable. Vucevic was not on the injury report. Jay Moore.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Captain Jay Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Captain J. Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin is with us on the CarX Entire Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
As we talk Bears here on Cap and Jay Hood, good morning, Courtney.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Sup, Double C?
Not too much, just hanging in there.
Can you jump in on our conversation that we were talking about it regarding the draft? Jump in on our conversation.
Okay.
So, you know, our friend JD and I would always have this debate around this time every year. It's like clockwork. We talk about best available versus best on the board, or drafting for need versus drafting for what's best on the board. So we'd go back and forth, and I'd say, JD, listen, man, if I send you to the store to get milk, don't bring me back Comet. I need milk, okay? I need milk today, meaning like with the Bears, I need defensive line help. But you're the best on the board or the best at the store. You gave me like, you know, three cans of Comet. Well, I can't put Comet in my cereal. So we go back and forth on this. So what do you think is best for the Bears? Because you see the depth chart like we do every day. There's holes there. What's best for the Bears in this spot?
And can I just add to his question, Courtney? He and I radically disagree here, because if I look and go, there's a good offensive lineman right there. But, man, that cornerback I have projected as an all-pro, I'm taking the best freaking player.
But now you got Noah's Ark. Now you got two of everything. If you don't draft something that you already are strong at, especially when you got all these holes on the roster.
I guess the question I would have for you first is, what do you think? What do you project as their biggest need? Because I think a lot of people's answers are going to be something different with where this team sits at 9.
Well, don't you think because it's the worst defense in our lifetime, you need defensive line help? You want to have a cornerstone there for the next 5 to 10 years?
I think you need a pass rusher. I think you need an offensive tackle. Those are my two top priorities. And so, like, if you're dissecting this thing about best player available versus what you need right there at 9 and what's available, I think the first thing is you don't want to overdraft. And what I mean by that is, to Cap's point about a corner, if you take a look at what Todd McShay, he just did a 2-round mock, and I thought it was kind of interesting what he did for the Bears in the second round, but we can get to that in a minute. Like, the best corner, if the Bears are on the board, if they stay at 9, you know, right around that area is Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon, the kid from Illinois. Those two went to the Raiders and the Falcons. And then the next best corner, you know, that would actually be available to the Bears, not just in the vicinity, would be Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State. And he went to the Commanders at 16. Now, if you really thought, man, this is a can't-miss prospect, this is somebody that I have to have in the fold, even though you drafted a corner last year in Kyler Gordon, you like the trajectory there, you like what you have in Jalen Johnson. I mean, they still need another cornerback, and it's something that we talked to Ryan Poles about at the owners' meeting. It's like, how do you value and weigh drafting a corner this year, knowing that you have depth there that you don't have at other positions, but there still is that need? And I think that's the push and pull of, truly, how is their board? Are they going to stick to their board the way that they have it stacked going into specific rounds? And is there anybody that they'd be willing to break code for, more or less? Like, man, we didn't think this guy was going to be here. We have to take him. Like, that's really, I think, for a team that does have so many needs, and we know that they're not going to be able to fill all of them in one offseason, you've heard the general manager and the head coach be very honest about that, that if there is that can't-miss prospect, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears take a swing, and it is somebody that you may have heard of, might have been on your radar, but not expecting fully. But at 9, you can understand why so many people are, you know, beating their chest about Peter Skoronski or Paris Johnson Jr. if he's there, or even on the other side of that, with a pass rusher. I mean, Lucas Van Ness could be right in their lap at 9, because if he doesn't go there, Philadelphia needs to, you know, shore up their pass rush with some of the departures they had in free agency. So I think you have a lot of options. That's the good thing about sitting at 9, because if you find value in trading back, you can still get one of those best player availables, even if you went a few picks back further in the first round. But they're in a spot where they have a lot of different ways to handle this. And if they do end up picking somebody that's not, you know, the odds on pick for them at 9, I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, then, Cap, Bijan Robinson at 9.
There no, because Courtney, here's what I said. If he takes Bijan Robinson because he was the highest graded guy on his board, who am I to tell him he's wrong? My point is that there is so much that goes into the evaluation. Strength and speed and understanding of the system and what type of a person you are and what type of a leader, like all of this. And I can't believe that when he puts his final stamp of a grade on Bijan Robinson, that positional value, all of it, would put him worthy of the 9th pick. Now, I'm really into this kid, Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
Can he get from 239 pounds to 250? I don't know the answer to that. Ryan would have to know projections, what his body's going to be. But I know he ran a 4.39. He's considered to be an elite leader. He was the number one player in the country when he signed at Georgia. And this dude fills a need. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's to draft an outside linebacker at 9. That's, I think people are starting to realize how important it is to get those sorts of players early in the draft. Because you can take a look back at the last couple. And, I mean, even going back to Roquan Smith in 2018, like, it's important to get those guys in the fold. And I know some people will see that on the surface and say another linebacker, but this guy can rush the passer, which would, you know, certainly, you know, help transitioning what he can do from what he did at Georgia to, you know, helping this pass rush, I don't think that would be an awful idea by any stretch. Like, the good thing is they do have the flexibility of multiple positions at nine. And to your point on Bijan Robinson, because I've seen a couple mocks that have had him, I think it's more wishful thinking than anything else. But we don't truly know Ryan Poles' philosophy on drafting running backs just yet. Like, do you want to spend a high draft pick on a running back? You go back in his history, you know, he was with Kansas City starting in 2010. The only time that organization drafted a running back in the first round was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was the last pick in 2020. You know, the only other time they've drafted a running back in the first three rounds was Kareem Hunt back in 2017. There's not a whole lot of body of work to go off with if you're projecting, hey, he built his philosophy through this franchise. Is that what he's going to do here? It wouldn't surprise me to see a running back taken in the early rounds. I don't think it would be in the first, but, you know, I brought up McShay's mock earlier, and I think I'm saying this player's name right, the kid from UCLA. He had him going in the second round. I think it's Zach Charbonnet going to the Bears at 53.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's that gap that we talk about from 9 to 53. There's going to be a lot of good players that go off the board. But if you feel like knowing what this offense is based on and having a dominant rushing attack to take some of the pressure off the quarterback, it would make sense to continue to shore up that room where they spent some, like, you know, ample, you know, some resources there in free agency. Not a lot, but I thought it was a smart move to get Deontay Foreman. And then to bolster that depth even more by using a second-round pick on a running back, that's a smart play, and I really wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
All right, more with Courtney Cronin coming up next as we talk about the Bears' latest move by picking up Green and looking around the National Football League. Courtney Cronin, next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Courtney Cronin is with us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, through your sources, any more news or anything new happening with Lamar Jackson?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, no. The answer is no right now. I thought it was interesting how they shut everything down. Like, they did their pre-draft press conference a little earlier than most teams. I think it was Wednesday. And somebody was trying to ask a question, and they mentioned the L word, and it set off PR in there where they had, like, turned off the mics. They're like, no, this is draft only. And it was a question about when the journalist was actually able to finish and wasn't shut down by Chad Steele, their PR person. They asked a question about if this whole thing isn't going to work out, how is that going to affect what you do with your pick at number 22? And Eric DaCosta gave a very political answer about, like, yeah, we may draft a quarterback in the first round, but if you think about 22 and who's going to be available there, and all of our minds go to Hendon Hooker, somebody who's still coming off of an ACL tear, and might he be a terrific NFL prospect? Sure, but he's not going to be ready to play right now. That doesn't help you in the short term. That's a move for a team maybe like the Minnesota Vikings, a team that's picking, I believe it's one pick below them at 23, because we don't know about Kirk Cousins' contract situation beyond this year. But for the Ravens, that's not a move that I would think would make sense for right now. This whole thing with Lamar, I mean, it's the longer we wait, the more I think he might end up having no other options. And that's not to say that he would end up playing for Baltimore, because he seems pretty principle driven. I don't know if I'd want to miss out on $2 million a week. I think that Lamar probably doesn't want to do that either, but the question of, well, if he ends up back in Baltimore, will he play, will he not? We just don't know. But right now, it just feels like it's so stagnant. And you might think, oh, well, wait until the draft, see who gets a quarterback who doesn't. Sure. Is that going to lower the price, though, on Lamar and what Baltimore would want in return? I'm not so sure.
So as you look at where this thing is right now for the Chicago Bears, we were asking the question earlier, the GM you have the most confidence in town. I said Jed Hoyer. He's been part of a World Series winner. Rick Hahn, he's been part of a World Series winner, and now it's his shop, and he's got at least a pretty talented roster. Young Jake said Ryan Poles, and I said, based on what? Where are you on the confidence level? Not the hope, the confidence level in what Ryan Poles has accomplished.
Well, we know he's, you know, sticking to his principles on this. So if you're going to judge somebody off of what they say they're going to do, he's followed every bit of that. Now, it's probably not to the liking of some Bears fans who want to see this thing expedited and want to see them capitalize on what we expect to be an Aaron Rodgers void in the NFC North and maybe having a chance to make up some footing there. I still think, though, if you look at this thing realistically, you got to see where Ryan Poles is coming from, that this is a multi-year rebuild, and there is a shot that this thing takes, you know, 2 years, 3 years before they're on stable ground. And, I mean, I understand the projection there. As of right now, he's done everything he said he's going to do. He never overpromised. I think those are fan expectations that get in the way, and they see, oh, $100 million, oh, 10 draft picks, like, go after it. And now you have more, of course, with the trade with Carolina. I think he's done a really good job so far. I don't think there's anything you can knock him on other than people who don't understand the inner workings of Hallis Hall. Just because the general manager might be sitting on $100 million of cash at the start of free agency, you know that you have to also get approval from ownership to pull off certain moves, right? Like, it's not Ryan Poles' money. That's the McCaskey's money, and that's the franchise's money. Mm-hmm. So, like, consider all of those things before you rule one way or the other on, oh, Ryan Poles did enough or he didn't do enough this free agency.
How likely is it for the Packers to trade Aaron Rodgers before the draft?
I mean, if you're the Packers and you see the Jets now have that extra second round pick, wouldn't it make sense to get something done in the next 20-something days so you can actually utilize that draft capital? They don't give a damn one way or the other about, oh, we want Aaron Rodgers here, we meaning the Jets, for April 17th when we start our OTAs. The only thing they care about is the compensation. Right now, it's a matter of seeing who's going to blink first, but I think the Packers, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen before the draft. Do they need to? No, because his option's not due until the start of the regular season. They could, if they really want to be petty about this, wait it out. But I think they want that draft capital, and I think they're hoping that the Jets get desperate enough to where they want to get this done ahead of the draft, because maybe they feel it won't happen if, you know, on their terms, or having to drive up the price even further, that maybe they throw in an extra pick. Who knows? But I would imagine if the Packers really want something done, they can get it done before April 27th.
The end of the draft comes. Courtney Cronin is writing her article about the Bears draft class. Will you be typing the words Bears draft a quarterback somewhere in this draft?
I hope so, because I'm a firm believer that you should take a quarterback every year. I think it's a good insurance policy.
Agreed.
They've got 10 picks right now. I need to go through it, but you know what I mean.
They have 10.
You have 10.
They've got a lot of picks in the later rounds, too. Minnesota used to do this dumb thing every year where they would draft like a sixth or a seventh round guy that did nothing and sometimes wasn't even on their practice squad when I covered them. I think that's not worth, like, if you want to pick up a guy to be a camp body, that's one thing. But if you want somebody in the room knowing that they have, you know, they just re-signed Nathan Peterman, so he'll probably be fighting for that practice squad spot, I think it's smart. Use a fourth or a fifth round pick on a quarterback just to have somebody in there that could eventually, you know, maybe become like your backup quarterback down the line. I think it's never a bad idea to draft a quarterback and actually use like a legitimate pick, not a priority free agent pick, more or less, with those sixth or seventh rounders on a quarterback.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you both. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Have a great weekend. Courtney Cronin with us on the CarX Auto and Tire Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Brooks Koepka is leading at 8-under at the Masters. Victor Hovland and John Rahm tied at 7-under.
Correct. And it's underway. They moved it up by a half hour today, the tee times, because inclement weather is headed that way for the weekend.
Not only that, it's going to rain.
That's what inclement means.
Huh?
That's what inclement means.
Matt Clement, what'd you say?
Inclement weather.
Oh, inclement weather.
Yes.
Okay.
And by the way, I have an idea. Tell me if I'm nuts. You got all these LIV dudes that are in this tournament.
Yeah.
And some of the PGA guys don't even want to talk to them. You're telling me that the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Fund, that's who funds the LIV Tour.
Okay.
that basically have more money than the rest of the world combined.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me there's not a bonus out there? You beat these guys from the PGA or make it worth your while? You're telling me there's not like a stupid $15, $20, $30 million bonus? I'll tell you, I think you're wrong.
You mean like a bounty?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Koepka or Dustin Johnson or Phil Mickelson. One of you dudes goes and wins this tournament. Joaquin Niemann, really good player.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it worth your while. We're gonna walk out of their palace, the Masters.
Yes.
And the tournament is won by a LIV golfer? Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'll bet you there's a $20 million bounty out there. Bet you.
Hold that prize up to the 23 affiliates in the CW that can watch LIV golf.
They don't care. That's ego for them.
Yeah, okay. No TV, no awareness. Just remember that. Coming up, my God, the White Sox. How horrible has it been? We'll talk about it in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.